I know that it's Thanksgiving, and I was working on a. Hey, this is Pastor, your pulpit's coming apart. There, all right. I was working on a Thanksgiving message, and I've got a couple, but I couldn't get this one off my heart, and. It's like I was listening to one sermon by a preacher, Phil Kidd, and he was preaching on Mother's Day, and he said, now, I've got to do what God wants me to do, and he says, I don't understand why, but he preached on be sure your sin will find you out on Mother's Day. And so it's not going to be that bad tonight, but Lord, I do believe this is what God had me to preach on, so... I'm going to preach it, Luke chapter 15. If I didn't, it would be a dud for sure. And I want to try and do what God wants me to do. We have enjoyed our time back, but I will confess that there's just something about the road that's where we fit. And I'm excited about taking off on Friday, going up to Montana and preaching. I've got one meeting lined up, another one that's in the works, and then some other preachers possibly... that'll line up there. So pray for us. I don't know what the condition will be like. Haven't been in the snow. But I've always thought it'd be a good place to be for revivals is in the north in the winter. That's harder traveling, but the people that are slow, they've slowed down. In the summertime, you get up north, people are going like mad to get ready for winter and cutting wood and different things. Get up in the winter, in theory, that's my thoughts, that they're going to be slower, have more time to think about the Word of God and those things. So I think it'd be a good time and a good place. But to Luke chapter 15, where we'll start tonight, and I'm going to preach a familiar text, a familiar sermon. I don't know if I've preached this here before or not. I don't believe I have. But Luke chapter 15, tonight I'd like to preach on the prodigal son. And Luke chapter 15, we'll start in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. There's a lot of things that can be said about our God. I suppose if you wanted to preach on God, you could preach on God till eternity. And you could go into eternity and preach for many, many, well, there are no years in eternity, but for a long time up there. And our God's a great God, and He's a holy God. And up in heaven, they cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. When Jesus Christ, when they were in the garden there, and Judas and the soldiers came to take Him, He said, I am He. And when He said that, they fell backwards. You're talking about God who's all-knowing. He knows everything. There's not a secret that you can hide from God. There's nothing. I mean, He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows where the sparrow falls on the earth. He knows everything. You take our God is a great God. He's all-powerful. When I think about God and think about Him just speaking, and there were stars. When I came into church tonight, I looked up, you could see the stars and just the myriads and myriads of them. And I think, God, what a great God You are, that all You did was speak and say, let there be stars, and there they are, and science can't even count them all. They put the Hubble telescope out there, and they take pictures into the deepest recesses of space, and they try and find the corners and the edges of the universe, and they see stars upon stars, and there's no way they can even count them all. And yet the Bible says that our God has names for every one of them. He's a great God, and I could go on and on about how great He is. But tonight, I as a sinner, I as one who deserves to go to hell and burn, I as one who at one time had just a sin on my soul, just stinking and rotten and just ungodly, I as one who had sinned against God Almighty and He had every right to cast me into hell, I as a sinner tonight, I am thankful for the forgiveness of God. I'm glad that our God is a forgiving God. I mean, there was nothing I could do to make myself acceptable to Him. I mean, I'd sinned against Him. I was under His wrath. There was nothing I could do until I came to Jesus Christ and asked Him into my heart. And I'm glad tonight to hear the words, Thy sins are forgiven. Oh, I thank God for that. I'm reminded of the story in the Bible about a woman that comes to Jesus who was an ungodly woman, and she stood at His feet and wept, and her tears fell on His feet, and then she wiped His feet with her hair and was just weeping there. And Jesus said, Verily, her sins which are many are forgiven. Her sins which are many are forgiven. Isn't it good to know tonight that if you're saved, your sins are forgiven, that you are on your way to heaven? The forgiveness of God is a truth in the Bible that will encourage you to keep on going and not quit. He forgives. In different places of the world, there's people throwing babies in rivers to try and appease their pagan gods. There's people throwing babies in volcanoes trying to appease their pagan gods. But tonight we've got a Savior that said, you don't need to do that. I'll go and I'll die for you. And I'll pay the price for you. And if you'll trust me, thy sins can be forgiven. I'm thankful for that. That's good. Now, in Luke chapter 15, is another story. And it's a story of forgiveness. And it's on the prodigal son. And it's a great story. And I want to say some things tonight, just briefly, about the prodigal son. I'm going to say, first of all, that the prodigal was not content. Notice in verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with rats his living. But in verse 12, he says, Father, give me. Father, give me. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the prodigal son was not content. Now, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And you can have all the money in the world. You can be trying to get more and more things. But the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And, you know, things will not make you happy. We live in a materialistic society. It's the age of Laodicea, according to Revelation chapter 3. And just get things and things and things and all this stuff. But I'm here to tell you that things will not make you happy. Joy does not come externally. Joy comes internally when you're walking with God. Like they asked, I think it was Rockefeller, one of those guys, they said, how much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And that's usually how it is. But the prodigal son was not content. Now, he had every condition he should have been. I mean, he finally comes to his senses, but he wasn't content. He wanted to be free. He wanted to get out. And, oh, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I'm tired of you know, all these chores and all these things and all these restrictions. I'm tired of that church and all the restrictions. I'm tired of mom and dad, all these restrictions. And I want to be free. I want to get out and I want to do what I want to do. I just want to be free like the 60s generation. Oh man, let's just be free. Let me tell you something. If that's your attitude tonight, you are headed for prison. Because the Bible says, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. And you think, oh, I'm tired of always having to do this. And I'm tired of that. And I can't ever have what I want. And I can't ever do what I want to do. You're getting ready for a journey, brother. But let me tell you something. You're going to head out there in prison because sin's going to wrap around you and wrap around you. And you won't be able to break free one day. Listen, the Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I tell you, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's a blessing not to have to worry about what people think. You know that? I mean, if you're concerned about what God thinks, it doesn't matter what people think. And you know, there's a lot of freedom in that. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You don't have to do none of that stuff, man. It's just live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, He sets you free. And that prodigal son, he said, I want it. Give me, give me, give me. He is thinking of himself. And that's our nature. We're just that way. You know, Norman Rockwell has a painting, a picture. In this picture, there's a beautiful pasture, lush grass, real thick, deep green. And there's a fence right down the middle of that thing. Maybe you've seen this picture. And on one side, there's a cow. And it's got its head through the fence, eating the grass on that side. And on this side, there's another cow. And its head is through the fence, eating the grass on that side. And, of course, you know the moral of that picture is we always think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And it's not that way. The thing to do, the key is just be content where you're at. And the prodigal son just couldn't be that way, couldn't do that. I think about, remember that cult down in San Diego a few years back, that Heaven's Gate cult? Remember that thing? They were going to rendezvous with some spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet, you know. And I was up in South Dakota. I was looking at a magazine, had some articles on that thing.
And did you notice the house all those people were staying in? You ever notice that thing? I don't know if how close you look at it. The house those people were staying in, the rent on that thing was $7,000 a month. I mean, that thing was a mansion. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. And those people said, no, we're going to rendezvous with some spaceship up there, and committed suicide. You know why? They weren't happy. They weren't happy. And if you're not happy, you better look out. You're getting ready to take a journey. But I'll tell you what. Freedom and joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The prodigal son, he wasn't content. He wasn't content. He wasn't content, and so secondly, he got curious. And I want you to notice the curiosity of the prodigal in verse 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. He knew where he wanted to go. I don't know where that house was, but I imagine strangers would come by and he'd come out by the fence and say, where are you coming from? So we're coming from the faraway country over there. He said, oh, really? I've heard about that. They said, oh, yeah? And he said, yeah. What's it like? And they go, oh, man. It is beautiful. I mean, it is just, it knocked your socks off, man. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. Man, we're having the greatest time. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get back. I'm on the journey. And that prodigal son thought, man, I'll tell you what, I'm just stuck around this house. Life's just passing me by. I mean, to tell you, I wish I could go. I'll tell you, and he got curious because he wasn't content. If you're not content with Jesus, if you're not content with the Word of God, if you're not content with knowing that you're going to heaven and you've got a gold mansion waiting for you and a new body someday, if you're not content with the things of God and knowing those things, you're going to get ready. You're going to get curious about sin. And I'll tell you what, the devil knows how to make it look real pretty. You young people, the devil's going to paint you a pretty picture. He's going to make it look, oh, man, this is the thing to do. I tell you what, this is the fun thing. I mean, you see them billboards driving down the road, you know, and all these people, you know, it's Newport or whatever, and they're smoking their cigarettes. They don't show them with their throat cut out with emphysema and dying because of all the disease and junk that it gave you. They don't show you that. The devil's going to paint a pretty picture. I'll tell you, some of you have heard this over and over, but you're not content. You're not content with Jesus Christ. And so what are you going to do? You're going to get looking. And the devil's going to paint it up. Let me tell you something. Eve looked. Eve had a perfect environment, and she didn't even have a sinful nature like we got. She had a perfect environment. I mean, a sinless childbirth. I mean, there weren't any mosquitoes. I mean, to tell you, it was just at a perfect temperature. I mean, it didn't get cold, didn't get hot. I mean, there wasn't any murder, wasn't any of that stuff. I mean, an absolutely perfect environment with one, and it wasn't a restriction. It was just, don't do that. And just that one thing. And, I don't see why it looks pretty good. And she got looking. She wasn't content with all the rest. She got looking at it. Well, I don't see what's wrong. And the devil came up to her and said, see there? Man, you'll be like gods. And she went ahead and partook in that thing. I'll tell you what, if you're not content with Jesus Christ, you're going to get curious. I mean, Achan got curious. David got curious. He looked at Bathsheba. I mean, he got there, and the Bible said he just lusted. The Lord said, I give you this, I give you that. I could have gave you more, whatever you wanted, but you have sinned against me. I tell you, Pastor was mentioning that. Listen, you need to be content with Jesus Christ. The devil makes you think that life is just passing you by. Listen here, you homemakers here tonight, ladies, that are staying home and you're working around the house, the devil's going to work on you and try to make you think, well, life's just passing you by. And what are you going to do if your husband dies? And I'll tell you what, and your friends come around and say, oh, you're throwing your life away. You have got to be absolutely crazy. I'll make you feel like, oh, man, I guess I'm the dumbest thing ever. I mean, I'm just staying at home. The Bible said, you know, be a keeper at home, and I'm just staying at home, and I all that stuff. And the devil's just going to try to make you feel like you're just nuts. When you're doing what God wants you to do. Amen, amen, amen. When you take that stuff, the devil will paint a pretty picture. Go down to Las Vegas, drive in that city, all these lights, lights and lights, these billboards, and they're flashing. Oh, it just looks so beautiful. It looks so pretty. I mean, just the reds and the blues and the yellows and everything. And it just looks so pretty. And yet tonight in Las Vegas, there are going to be some lives that are absolutely ruined. But it looked like so much fun. It looked like so much fun. You take down in Hollywood with all them stars. You take over there in St. Peter's, Vatican. Why, you go in that Vatican there and you see them murals and them paintings. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. I mean, just all the stuff all over that thing. You walk in there, just gold and everything. Just absolutely beautiful. You'd never guess that it's a doorway to hell. But it looks so pretty. And then there's the little Baptist church. You know, you do have stained glass, though. I'll tell you, that's I've been in quite a few. Just little old country church, you know. And, just simple little church. Nothing fancy, but the Word of God's here. What I'm saying is the devil's going to paint it pretty. He's going to try and make it look so good and make you feel like that life's just passing you by. And if you're not content with Jesus Christ, you're going to get curious. And them kids in them public schools, you know, if they don't do the drugs and stuff, I'll tell you, if one doesn't do it and the others are, and they say, oh man, we had a great time. Remember that guy? Remember the guys come in, oh man, we had a great time last night, and they tell about all the stuff that happened. Oh man, you missed out. Make you feel like you're just nothing if you don't go out and get drunk and stoned with them. All that stuff. Oh man, you're just sick in the mud. You're just nothing. And you go out and puke your guts out and throw your life away. I tell you what, they don't show you all that stuff. But let me tell you something. Be content with Jesus. Be content with Jesus. Don't get curious. I read a story one time about a botanist who was out doing his stuff, but he was studying it, and he sat down to take a lunch break. When he did, where he was at, there was a sundew plant that he noticed not far from him. And the sundew plant, for those of you who don't know, is a plant that got a leaf and all these prongs on the leaf, and there's a little drop of nectar on the tip of each one of those things. And over millions of years, it's evolved because it needed to. It realized that it was deficient of minerals, and so it said, if I could eat a fly, then I could get those minerals, and it developed these things. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a plant that God designed, and it has all these little prongs on there, like say the nectar on it. And so he was watching, and he said, I just wonder. And sure enough, here comes a fly, and this fly's going. And it flew around that plant, and the sunbeams were dancing, sparkling in that leaf there, and that fly saw that thing, and boy, that looks good. And it flew around, and sure enough, it landed on that leaf. And it started licking the nectar, and the nectar was sweet, and it tasted so good. And that little fly there was licking and licking, and he started to move a leg, but when he did it, got stuck on a couple more of those prongs. When he started to move the other leg, it got stuck also. But he kept licking. And then a few more legs got stuck, and then he tried to fly. When he did, those wings got stuck on those prongs there, and that leaf started to enfold itself around that fly. And the botanist was watching this. And that leaf got more and more around it, more and more around it, and almost ready to just completely engulf that fly. And it was for surely dead. I mean, there was no escape. But he noticed something right before the leaf had completely covered that fly. It was still licking the nectar. It was still licking away, and still licking, and still licking, and still licking. It couldn't quit. And you know what? Sin will get a hold of you, and you've come a time where you want to quit, and you won't be able to quit. It's got you wrapped around its finger. It's, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to quit. I want to get my life straightened out. I want to do right. And sin's got its hand around you like that, and it looks so fun, and it looks so pretty, but it's going to kill you. The prodigal son, he lost everything. He took his inheritance and he went into the faraway country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And let me tell you something, the devil's going to paint a pretty picture. But when he gets done with you, he's going to throw you aside. He don't care about you. I mean, these Satanists and stuff out there worshiping the devil and all, man, we're going to reign with Satan in hell and all that stuff. They don't realize he's a liar. They're just deceived. Let me tell you something. When he's done, he'll just throw you aside. I heard a story about a movie star by the name of Jane Mansfield. Some of you may remember her. Jane Mansfield had a friend who was a Christian. And this Christian would come up to her and she'd say, Jane, you need to get saved. Won't you come to church with me? And Jane would kind of laugh and say, oh, no, I'm not into that sort of thing. So please, Jane, you need to get saved. Won't you come to church? And she never would. And their paths separated for a little while, a couple of years. And they met each other in the store somewhere, came across each other's path. And she said, oh, Jane, how you doing? She said, oh, great. And they were talking, you know, how you've been, all that sort of thing. And then Jane Mansfield said to her, she said, oh, by the way, I thought you'd like to know I'm going to church. And the girl was thrilled. Oh, praise the Lord. Where are you going, Jane? She said, she asked her, you know, when'd you get saved? She said, oh, I haven't. She said, I've joined the Church of Satan. And Anton LaVey is my pastor. The girl was horrified. Oh, Jane, you shouldn't. And she just laughed at her, you know. And one day, Jane Mansfield was driving a car. It's a true story. Jane Mansfield was driving a car down there in Louisiana. It was late at night. It was kind of misty. She was cruising along. And at the same time, her pastor, Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan in San Francisco, California, was cutting her picture out of a newspaper. And when he got to her head, he took the scissors and cut her head off of that picture. And at the same time, she got in a car wreck in Louisiana and got decapitated. You know why? The devil was through with her. He said, I've used you enough now. Oh, he'll paint a pretty picture. But I'll tell you what, you go down to the drug wards, you go down to the halfway houses and things, you'll see what happens when he says, all right, that's enough, I'm done with you. Oh, Kurt Cobain up there in Seattle, I mean the lead singer for Nirvana, one day he had all the riches, had all the wealth, had all the money, had everything he could ever want, and he said, you know, I just don't see any reason, and blew his brains out. Oh, but it looks so good. Some of you, you're not content with Jesus. And the devil is painting a pretty picture, and it's tempting you. It's tempting you. Oh, man, oh, just so much fun, and I can do what I want to do, and oh, it feels so good. And oh, just, and he's tempting you, and it's like you're like a fish, and he's got the bait there, and you're about ready to bite. You better look out. You better look out. The prodigal son ended up in the hogslot. And not only that, the prodigal son came to his senses. Notice in verse 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? You know, whenever you sin, you're not in your right mind. Do you know that? Now, it doesn't matter what it is. Are you kids? If it's just disobey mom and dad, you're not in your right mind. If it's go out and do some drugs or a little bit of a sin here, a little bit of this or that, or watch something on television you shouldn't be watching, you're not in your right mind. If you choose to sin, that's not the right mind. We all do it. But I'll tell you what, it looks so good, but when you get ready to sin like that, you are not in your right mind and you need to come to yourself. Now, some of us have come to ourselves and some of us haven't. Maybe there's someone here tonight, you're messing around in sin. You say, oh, but nobody knows. God knows. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You're messing around with sin, and what's worse is you enjoy it. You enjoy it. You're messing around there, and you're messing around in sin, messing around in sin like that. You need to come to yourself and realize that that sin is going to kill you, and you need to come back to Jesus Christ, because listen, nobody loves you like Jesus. No one cares for you like Jesus. Nobody wants your best interest like Jesus. Listen, you're deceived right now if you're messing around in sin. The prodigal son realized that there's no place like home. There's no place like home. To quote Judy Garland, there's no place like home. Listen, there's no place. You can have your drugs. You can have whatever you want. You can take the sex. You can take the booze. You can take the drugs. And let me tell you something. There's no substitute for feeling the arms of God wrap around me and knowing His presence and knowing that I'm right with God and I'm going to heaven and there's nobody greater than Him. You can take everything the world has to offer, but I'll take Jesus Christ anytime.
The devil tries to make it look so good. He was humble. He was humble. He said, I'm not worthy to be a son.
You know, that prodigal son got down there in the hot slop and he came to himself and he said, I don't know if Dad didn't have me back.
I wasted my substance, my inheritance. I shamed his name. I don't know if he'd even ever want me back, but maybe I could just be a servant. I understand he won't take me in. I understand that, but I know he's got servants and I know there's work to do and maybe I could go home and just be a servant. You know, sometimes when you get messing around in sin, the devil come along and say to you, God doesn't even want you back. You've messed up so bad. You're such a mess and you're no good. You're just rotten. You'll never amount to anything. God doesn't want you. He doesn't want you at all. The devil's going to try and grind you down and make you feel like, I could never get back. But I want you to know, there's a Heavenly Father up there. And He's looking over the battlements of heaven. And His heart is longing for you. I tell you what, He loves you and He cares for you. I mean, the prodigal found out that all that he ever wanted was at home. Listen, all you could ever want is with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just it. It's all there. You say, but preacher, it's been so hard. I've got trials and tribulations. But in the midst of those trials and tribulations, there's joy in your soul. There's no joy in your soul out in sin. There's no joy. Over in Thailand, there's a missionary by the name of Tilman. And he's got an orphanage. And he'll go and he'll take the little orphan girls and boys, most of them were girls, off the streets of the Philippines. No, it's Thailand. It's Thailand. And the reason he'd get the orphans, or the reason they were orphans, is because the parents got leprosy. And they knew that if they stayed around the children would catch them. Brother Tilman would go and he'd get those little orphans. He'd take them into his orphanage and he'd clean them up. And I saw a video on his work there. And it showed these orphan girls, 5, 6, 7 years old. They had one little baby. It was less than. And they were laughing and they were singing songs about Jesus. And they had the little bamboo mats and they were eating. And I would be willing to bet that Brother Tilman has never had one of those orphans say to him, I don't think he's ever had that. I've never asked him, but I would be willing to bet that's never happened. I'll tell you what, it's not out in the streets. It's not out in sin. It's in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I could get that across to you, if you could realize how important that is, your life is in Jesus Christ. It's not in this junk. It'll kill you. But it's with the Lord. One of these days we're leaving this world behind. We're going home. We're going to be with Him. Live for Him now. You young people, the devil wants to mess you up. Don't you know that? He wants to mess us all up. I'll tell you what. You want joy? I didn't say it was easy. But happiness is found in living for the Lord. The prodigal son determined to go home. I don't know who you are tonight, but will you determine to come home? Will you say, I'm going to do that, Lord? I don't know how. God, help me. I can't do it. And you can't. You can't. But will you in your heart tonight say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of this stuff. God, you've got to help me or I'm a mess for sure. And that's true with all of us. Will you come home? Listen to that prodigal son when he started home. I'm sure the friends came out and laughed at him. Said, oh, are you getting religion? Oh, man, what's wrong? Can't you take it? You lightweight? Oh, that's all, you know, and they made fun of him. If you're worried about what your friends are going to say, if you're worried about public opinion, you'll never go home. You never will. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But will you forget about all that, what the world says, and say, Lord, please help me.
The prodigal son came to himself. And last of all, I want you to notice, and I suppose this is probably the greatest of all, I want you to notice the compassion of the Father. Notice in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, I like that. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. Maybe tonight you're a great way off. Oh, you're in church. But in your heart, you're a great way off from fellowship with God. And maybe if you'll just say, Lord, help! I want you to know your Heavenly Father come running. He'll come and grab a hold of you and wrap His arms around you. I tell you what, He'll fall on your neck. He'll be so glad to welcome you home. You have no idea how it hurts the Father's heart every day that you're away from Him. When you took that journey, right out in sin, your Heavenly Father got looking. Oh, please don't do that. And every day, you know this the prodigal's father, I believe there wasn't a minute of every hour of every day that didn't go by that the father wasn't thinking about him. Thinking, maybe he'll come home. I hope he comes home today. Oh, God, please bring my boy back. Oh, God, I'll tell you what, he was looking and longing and waiting for his son to come home. And if you've wandered from God, I want you to know your Heavenly Father is looking over the battlements of heaven and said, oh, won't you come home? We've got a great God. He loves you. But He won't force you. He won't force you. He'll not grab you against your will and say, you've got to come home. He won't do that. But He'll convict you. He'll deal with you. But He will not force you. If you want to go out and sin, if you want to get out there, you enjoy it that much. If you like the hog slop of this world that much, He'll say, well, it's your choice. It's your choice. I do have a recommendation that thou doest do quickly so you don't take someone else with you. If you want to go out in the world and mess around with the sin and the wickedness out there, help yourself, but count me out. And do quick because you might mess someone else up. But I would advise that you come home tonight like a prodigal. Nobody loves you like our God. Nobody cares like Him. It may you say, I can't. I've gone so far. With God's help, you can do it. God's help, you can do it. And see, the Lord looks on your heart. Will you come home? Two men were riding a train. You probably heard the story, but it illustrates the prodigal son so well. It was wintertime, and a young man and an old man were riding on a train, sitting by each other. They rode along for a while, and finally the older man was a preacher. He mentioned to the son, he said, going home for the holidays? The young boy didn't say anything. He tried to strike up conversation. The young boy wouldn't say anything. So they rode on a little bit farther. He noticed a little bit later that the young man's eyes welled up with tears. And he was kind of choked up. And he said, son, he said, could I help you? He said, I'm a preacher. He said, would you like to talk to me? He said, well, preacher, he says, like this. He said, I was real rebellious. He said, I wouldn't do what mom and dad told me to do, and one day it got so bad that I actually hit my dad. My mom was all concerned, and they had to ask me to leave. He said, I left the house and got out in sin. He said, I guess I've done just about anything that anybody could ever do. He said, but one day as I got to the end of my rope, I went to church and God saved me. He said, when He did, I thought of mom and dad. And I wrote them to see if I could come home if they'd forgive me. And I'm on this train to go home. The preacher said, well, how are you going to know if they've forgiven you? He said, well, these tracks go right behind our house. And there's an apple tree in our backyard. It's always been there. And I wrote in the letter, and I said, Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. But if you could forgive me, I'll be on the train. And as it goes behind the house, if you could put a white ribbon in that tree, if I see that ribbon, I'll know that you've forgiven me and everything's okay. And if I don't see a ribbon,
then I understand. I'll just go on down the tracks and I won't come home. He said, so preacher, he said, I'm on my way home to see if they forgive. He said, okay. And they rode on and they were getting closer and closer to the young man's house. And he got nervous and he got scared. He said, preacher, I don't know if I can look. He said, I just don't know. I've been so wicked. He said, I don't know if I could look, preacher. And the preacher said, you want me to look for you? He said, would you do that? And he said, sure, I'd be glad to. So as they got closer, the young man said, we're getting close. And wiped the frost from off of the window pane there. And the preacher started looking out the window. As they got closer, sure enough, there was an apple tree. And that preacher said to that young man, he said, son, he said, you don't have a thing to worry about. He said, I see an apple tree. He said, it looks like it's in full bloom. He said, there's ribbons all over that tree. And he said, I see an old man and an old woman out there with a sheet. And they're waving it up and down. He said, I think they're saying, come on home, son, come on home. And I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've gone. I don't know what sins you've gotten into. But I want you to know up in heaven, your heavenly Father, He's up there saying, won't you come home? Oh, come on home. He'll forgive you. Did you ever notice? Father didn't say to the prodigal, why you stupid prodigal. I told you. Why, I told you, you just, he didn't do that. The prodigal thought he would. Prodigal found a father that maybe had gotten up in years. He'd be sitting on the front porch. Look off that porch. One day he looked and be a little bit faster. Oh, I think he's coming home. I think he's coming home. And I'll tell you what, didn't matter if that man had a heart problem or whatever, you couldn't have tied him down. That old man started running down that road. He thought he's coming home. He's coming home. I imagine he's waving against him. My boy's coming home. He ran down there and fell on his neck and wept. Said, welcome home, son. Welcome home. And I want you to know tonight, that's the kind of reunion you can have with your Heavenly Father. He loves you so much. It ain't out there. It isn't out there. It's with Jesus Christ. Let's pray.